The debate in Congress over transportation funding is getting a lot of attention this week. But did you hear about the bill the House passed last week? It would prevent mandatory labeling of foods made from crops that have been genetically modified, or GMOs. That bill appears to be an attempt to undercut new state laws, including one in Vermont, that would require manufacturers to label which foods have GMOs. That state law is set to take effect next year. Joining us now are two people on different sides of this issue. Michael Gruber, the Senior Vice President for Federal Affairs at the Grocery Manufacturing Association. Michael, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Richard Eidlin is with us also. He is the co-founder and vice president of the American Sustainable Business Council. Richard, welcome to you.
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, let me start with you, Michael. You are in favor of this bill. Why is that? What do you like about it?
Well, we're trying to prevent a patchwork of state labeling laws. We've been fighting this since about 2012 in states like California, Oregon, Washington, and Colorado. We really believe that the federal government is the best place to manage our labeling laws and labeling guidance. It's been doing it for over 100 years, and so states like Vermont that have come in with their own set of standards for labeling for genetically engineered ingredients is really disruptive.
And so would you be okay with a federal law that required labels?
We wouldn't, because that's basically mandating a warning label for safe ingredients, and we believe that it's unnecessary, it's not scientifically necessary, and that the purpose of that is to try and frighten consumers away from those products and force our companies to reformulate or resource the raw ingredients to organic or non-GMO.
Richard Eidlin, your response.
Well, we have a really different perspective, which is that markets work best when consumers have adequate information. So we really feel that's a basic tenet of a successful, thriving free market. And we know that millions of Americans in poll after poll show that over 80-90% of the public wants labeling. And we're not debating whether GMOs are safe or not safe. We're suggesting, as a business organization, that transparency is a really important factor in a successful market.
But let's get to that question, Richard. Do you believe that GMOs are safe?
We believe, so I think there's a narrow and a broad way to look at that. So there's scientific evidence to suggest that there are possible dangers of GMOs. There's also a number of studies, many studies, that suggest there isn't a problem. But if you go beyond the actual GMO, there are questions of its resistance to pesticides and then its impact on the larger environment. So we're concerned from an environmental perspective that GMOs may contribute to water depletion, may contribute to climate change.
How do they contribute to those things?
Well, with GMOs, there's a tremendous amount of water that's required. It's very energy intensive to use. And they also have all kinds of other residual impacts on the natural environment.
Michael, I imagine you disagree.
I do disagree. And let me just go back up to the whole Vermont law and talk about transparency. The problem with the Vermont law is that it includes massive exemptions for restaurant food, alcoholic beverages, and also for products that are inspected by the USDA. So we will have products like soup on the shelf where you can have vegetable soup next to vegetable beef. Vegetable soup will have a Vermont label. Vegetable beef will not, because it's USDA inspected, and that's exempt in the rules. The other concern I have is that, you know, genetically engineered food, that those ingredients, those seeds are safe. They've been proven to be safe by the major scientific organizations around the world, like the World Health Organization, the FDA, National Academy of Sciences. And then I hear claims about GMOs using more water, and there's no basis in fact in that, when in fact there are genetically engineered corn plants that are actually drought resistant and help farmers conserve water. And pesticide use has actually declined by 40%. And I've talked with farmers who no longer even have equipment to apply pesticides on the field, because that genetically engineered corn and soybeans allows them to actually not have to use as much chemicals.
So why do you think there is such opposition? You can go to state after state in this country and see people who have signs up that say no GMOs. I'm sure that this segment is going to bring in a lot of email into our inbox of people who are saying these things are terrible. I would never buy anything with GMOs. But why is there such opposition if what you're saying is true?
Look, I think GMOs have been victim of a multi-year campaign to try and instill fear about this technology. We know more about this technology than we do about conventionally bred plants. And it's been very effective. I think you do have people that honestly are concerned about it. There's a lot of misinformation.
Some people will never accept the technology. But consumers have the ability to know when there are GMOs in their food, just the way that we've got cans that say this is from concentrate or, this is organic. There are all kinds of labels that are on our food.
Well, if we talk about this is concentrated orange juice, that's a quality standard. You've got many different kinds of orange juice. It may have vitamins included in it, may be sweetened, unsweetened, maybe freshly squeezed. That's providing consumers some clarity in terms of the quality, that if it's labeled fresh squeeze, you got to know it's fresh squeeze. It's not been frozen. But for GMOs to require labeling is difficult because all of that raw ingredient, whether it's soybeans or corn, if you go travel through the Midwest during harvest time, it's all commingled. It's really not going to tell you how that was grown or where it was grown. But the non-GMO standard that we're promoting provides consumers who want to make that choice clarity, and it provides them the knowledge that there is a national standard and that the companies that are producing those non-GMO products are doing it through a certification, and they can be assured that what they're getting has been reviewed by a federal agency.
We're speaking with Michael Gruber, the Senior Vice President for Federal Affairs at the Grocery Manufacturing Association, and Richard Eidlin, the co-founder and vice president of the American Sustainable Business Council. And Richard, let me go back to you. Do you think that people would be less likely to buy a product if it was labeled to have GMO foods in it?
I think consumers would have a choice, just as they have a choice deciding what type of automobile to purchase or a food product or what type of mortgage to secure based on the interest rate. So our basic premise from a business perspective is that markets often need direction to make some right choices. And we think that providing consumers with this kind of information will allow them to make smarter choices. They can choose to buy products that are labeled as GMO, or they could choose not to.
Well, how do you answer Michael's point, though, that you don't want to have a patchwork of different state regulations? If there's going to be something, it should be one.
Well, we would like to see a national standard. So that's what we've been advocating for a number of years now. And at the same time, if the federal government and if FDA won't act, then we think that states under a federalist system that we live in should have the right to make those decisions. So in Vermont, the bill, as signed by the governor and passed by the legislature, we think is a good step. We also feel that a national standard would be better, but we have many examples across this country where states have taken the step to be more innovative, whether it's with higher or lower speed limits or with educational standards. So if the federal government won't act, then we'd like to see states.
Richard, what do you think when you hear about a Pew study that finds that almost 60% of Americans think it's generally unsafe to eat genetically modified foods? Where do people get that idea from?
I think people get that idea from things they read and obviously information that they're exposed to. I am not a scientist myself. I purchase food, some of which is non-GMO, some of which probably has GMOs in it. But again, we go back to the basic premise that markets work best when consumers have information.
Michael, what about you? When you hear a statistic like that, what do you think?
Well, I also think of the statistics and the polls that industry polls that I've seen, where if you ask consumers open-ended questions about what do you really want to see in a food label, well, I've seen 4% to 7% of respondents believe that GMOs should be part of that label. But consumers generally care about calories and fat and other ingredients. But if you ask them if they think that GMOs should be labeled, they're probably going to say yes. but not really understanding that it's a lot more difficult than just saying yes. And again, that's why we're supporting this certification for non-GMO, because we know that people do care and want to make those choices. But again, we believe that there should be a national standard, and that's what this bill provides.
Where would our food supply be without GMO foods?
Well, I think it would be very disruptive, because right now the vast majority of corn and soybeans and sugar beets are genetically engineered for one reason or another, whether it's pest resistance or herbicide resistance or drought, drought resistance. So the conundrum for the companies that make this food is that if they are required to have a warning label of some type on their product, do they reformulate and resource to conventional ingredients, which right now are far more expensive and so scarce that there's not even a commodities exchange for some of those non-GMO ingredients?
Well, we'll continue this conversation online. Listeners can weigh in at hereandnow.org. But Michael Gruber, Senior Vice President for Federal Affairs at the Grocery Manufacturing Association, and Richard Eidlin, Co-Founder and Vice President of the American Sustainable Business Council, thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you.
And we were already hearing from listeners on our website, hereandnow.org. Elena from Akron writes, "Honestly, I think genetically modified crops may have a lot to do with the declining bee population." You can weigh in at hereandnow.org.